My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
His sheepskin coat was covered with snow and mud. The rifle strapped across his back was broken in half. Without greeting us, he stumbled to the barkeep and demanded palinka. "What happened to you, Yosko?" asked Halshin, his big belly bouncing with laughter. "Got into a fight with that dog of yours?" This got a couple of laughs from the men, but as soon as the woodsman turned around, all mirth disappeared from the room. Yosko was built like a bull and wore a true woodsman's beard. Yet, beyond the rough face, plain as day, we could all see he was terrified. The woodsman didn't answer. He just swallowed the barkeep's offering. It wasn't until his second shot that he spoke. "There's something in the woods." "Damn right there's something in the woods. A damn snowstorm. What a fool you are to walk around in there during the winter," Halshin said. "But fool or not, come join us and let me buy you a drink. As soon as someone closes that damn door, you might actually find some warmth here." Outside, a mighty storm raged in the dying light of the afternoon. Peeking out of the curtains of snow were the outlines of the Magura Forest, a forest thick enough to be dangerous, even in the brightest of summers. As the door closed, I quietly took pity on any man who would get lost in that wilderness. The woodsman took two more helpings of the palenka before he sat down among us. The liquor smelled heavy off of him, but as soon as he took off his coat, the room filled with a stench of sweat. "So, Yosko, last week you sit here and brag about how you finished all the winter preparations a month early, but now we catch you getting lost in the forest. Never took you for a liar." Halshin boomed, hoping to get a response out of the woodsman, but his jabs didn't land. The man sitting before us was in no mood for arguments or jokes. "What brought you to the forest, friend?" Halshin finally asked with a hint of kindness in his voice. The woodsman stared into his beer as if it was to provide answers to his torment. When no answers presented themselves, he started to speak. "Bako," he said. "Ever since we finished the winter work, he had been anxious, kept on howling and biting his paws. Figured taking him out for a quick walk in the forest would help." "Ah, you treat that dog like a child," Halshin hollered. "You let an animal sleep in the house, and soon enough it feels entitled to complain." This got a couple of murmurs of agreement from the rest of the table. Bako, much like the rest of the village dogs, was a product of untraceable parentage or breed. Yet, he wasn't treated like the simple farm animal he was. The woodsman seldom left the house without the dog, kept him by his side whenever he could. He would even converse with it when he thought no one was watching. Even though the hound and the woodsman were well-liked, many crude jokes would be made on account of their relationship. Yet, no one felt like joking that night. "Where is Bako?" someone asked. The woodsman didn't answer. Instead, he took a dull swig of his beer. "Getting out of the house helped," he said. "As soon as we got to the forest, he was off like a cannonball, jumping around in the snow, running back and forth on the path. Haven't seen him that happy all month. I wanted him to have his fun. Figured I'd take him with me to check on the feeder and salt licks." The woodsman's words were hollow. It was as if his body was present in the pub, but his mind was still somewhere off in the forest. "That's when I found the tracks," he said. "There's something in the woods." "Ah, I understand now," Halshin said, grinning. "You went out for some of your season hunting. Yosko, we're among friends here, so no one will report you. But if you do find yourself with some venison sausages, it would be a sin not to share." The rest of the table laughed hungrily. "So you had a run-in with a bear? Is that what happened to your rifle?" No, the woodsman said, and took another heavy swig of his beer. The tracks didn't belong to a bear, or a deer, or a boar, or anything else that roams in our forest. It was something bigger, something heavier, something taller. Taller? Someone asked. Taller. These tracks went deep. The legs that left them were tall. But the tracks were still of hooves. Long, flat hooves. Thought that maybe I'd come across some freak deer. Been a hard year. Figured a bit of sausage would cheer everyone up. For a moment, the woodsman smiled. For a moment, our drinking buddy was back. But then his eyes glazed over. What we found wasn't a deer. Will Bacco played in the snow. I followed the tracks. They ended up leading me all the way past the stream. They led to... The woodsman paused. It was as if he suddenly became aware of who he was speaking to. He looked up at Halshen. They led to your fields. I trust my potatoes are doing well. Halshen laughed. Others laughed with him. No, the woodsman said, silence in the crowd. No, Halshen, your fields are. It was as if boars dug through everything you planted. Everything is dug up. There's mud everywhere. That's ridiculous, someone said. No boar is smart enough to dig through the snow. Is this true, Yosko? You're not pulling my leg? When the woodsman shook his head, all the joy had left Halshen's eyes. For a moment, Halshen sat wordlessly, letting the anger fill his cheeks. What happened next? Who dug up my fields? He finally asked. Bacco was too busy running around in the snow to notice the tracks, but when we reached the field, there was no snow to play in. I tried to get him to follow the scent, to track down whatever animal destroyed your fields. He didn't want to. The woodsman's voice jumped an octave, his dark eyes closed. Bacco wanted to go home. See, this is what happens when you treat your dog like a child. Halshen slammed the table, nearly spilling his beer. You treat an animal like a man, and they start to form opinions. That hound was meant to follow the scent. That hound was meant to lead you to the animals that wrecked my fields. He did, the woodsman said. Bacco wanted to go home, but I forced him to follow the scent. I forced him to track down the animal. Good, Halshen said, calming. Have to remind the animal who is master from time to time. Halshen looked beneath the table, as if he expected the dog to be there. But Bacco was nowhere to be found. For a moment, it looked as if the man would ask about the dog, but he didn't. What did Bacco find? He didn't want to lead me, but I insisted, the woodsman said, his head bent over his beer in sorrow. He led me through your fields, down to the valley below. For a while, I could see the tracks. I could see those long-legged hooves in the snow. But when we walked down the valley, the snow disappeared. All that was left was mud. Mud and fog. Bacco kept on whimpering. He kept on looking back to me, begging me with his eyes to leave. But I didn't listen. I just kept on walking through the mud, hoping for some good meat. We were walking through the fog for a good 10 minutes when I heard it. I heard the animal. Like a mating grunt of a deer, but darker. I heard it coming from above. Above? Someone asked. From the sky, Yosko? Are you trying to tell us you saw deer mating in the sky? No one laughed. Looking at the woodsman's terrified face, no one dared to laugh. The fog was far too thick to see through. I was barely able to keep track of Bacco, but I could hear it. I could hear something groaning above us. At that point, even I was scared. I couldn't see anything. The dog was nervous, and whatever was out there in the fog was big. I tried to turn around. I was finally going to listen to Bacco's instincts, but it was far too late. The woodman attempted to continue his story, but no words left his mouth. He was still out there, in the forest, trying to make sense of what him and his dog had seen. Round up Alenkas on me, barkeep, Halshen ordered, breaking the tension for a split moment. Yet, as the glasses of clear liquid were placed on the table, the pub descended back into complete silence. Everyone was waiting for the woodsman to speak. He remained wordless until he swallowed his medicine. The legs, he finally said. The legs were the first thing I saw. Tall, grey legs, attached to a body I could not see. The skeletal limbs were enough for me. As soon as I saw them, I ran. I ran and Bacco followed me. But we weren't alone. The beast ran behind us. Its steps were frantic and clumsy, but it moved fast. Even on those disgustingly thin legs, it kept up with us. And the groaning kept on getting closer, as if whatever was making those horrible sounds was descending from the sky. Out of nowhere, the animal put on a burst of speed and overtook us. It nearly trampled us as it ran ahead. Then it stopped. Ahead descended from the fog on a sickeningly long neck, eyes blacker than the darkest night, a long purple tongue and giant yellow teeth. Staring at me was the maddened snout of a beast I couldn't imagine in my worst nightmares. It foamed at its curled lips. It snapped its monstrous maw. The beast meant us harm. I squeezed off one shot, went wide, by the time I loaded next. The woodsman nodded to his rifle, propped up against the table. The barrel of the gun was crushed and bent, halved by a thick tooth bite. There wasn't a second shot. I fell to the ground, and that horrible head descended towards me. Even past the mist, I could see those big dark eyes. They weren't dumb. They weren't like the eyes of any animal I've ever seen. No, there was malice in those eyes. The beast wanted me dead. Not because of hunger, not because of fear, but out of pure spite. For a moment, I was sure that my days had been numbered. But then... "Bacco," someone whispered. The woodsman drained his mug and nodded. He jumped out of the beast's neck and tore into it. I didn't look back. I just ran. I abandoned him. I left Bacco alone with whatever spawn of hell that creature was. All that could be heard was the howling of the wind outside. We were all trying to make sense of the woodsman's story, trying to figure out if the man had simply lost his mind in the forest, or whether there was any truth to what he was saying. Halshen broke the silence with his fist. "Bacco died an honorable death for a dog," he said, slamming the table. "He died serving his master. Barkeep, Arena Palenka in the hound's honor." To murmurs of agreement, another round was poured. Before the glasses were raised, however, Halshen struck a gentle tone. "Yosko, none of us here doubt your story, but you have to admit it is a difficult one to grasp. Impossible to grasp, might I say, for those of a more gentle nature. It has been a hard year. The last thing we need is the women and children being scared of some long-legged monster in the woods. I suggest to you, and everyone gathered here, that we do not speak of this matter further. I am sure that whatever beast you encountered will not stay in the Megura forest for long. If there are still traces of it come spring, we can investigate the matter further. But as far as I am concerned, all you and Bacco encountered in the woods was a particularly restless bear." The table all turned to the woodsman. We all studied his blank face in search of a response. "Yes," the woodsman said, after a moment of thought. "Let us not speak of this further." "Tobacco," Halshen said. "Tobacco," we echoed. Once the glasses were drained and slammed down on the wood, another wave of silence followed. No one knew what to say. Surely it was no time to cast doubt upon the woodsman's story, and it was most definitely no time to make jokes. But conversations around the village pub seldom revolved around anything other than humour and distrust. "He was a good boy," the woodsman whispered. The others started to murmur their agreement, but suddenly everyone went quiet. There was a scratch on the door. Something was trying to get inside of the pub. "What was that?" someone said. Behind us, the barkeep's shotgun cocked into action. He was aiming straight at the door. The fear in the room was palpable. What once seemed like a fever dream of a man lost in the woods now seemed like an undeniable reality. There was something outside, and it wanted in. The force on the door grew more erratic. With each second, I could feel the sanity draining out of the room. We were all thinking of the long-legged monstrosity that the woodsman had described. We were all fearing for our lives. But then, the scratches were joined with another sound, a familiar sound. Behind the door, a dog whimpered. "Bacco!" the woodsman yelled as he leapt to his feet and rushed to the door. "You're alive!" The dog was alive, but barely. Bacco's fur was matted in blood, and he scarcely managed to stay upright on his paws. Whatever struggle Bacco had emerged from was a brutal one. The pub immediately mobilized into a flurry of activity. Within seconds, the injured dog was wrapped up in the woodsman's coat and carried out into the night. In the spirit of communal support, or morbid curiosity perhaps, the whole pub followed the woodsman to the village veterinarian. Soon enough, Halshen and I were the only ones left in the pub. "You think the woodsman was telling the truth?" I asked. "Yasko has a strange relationship with his dog," Halshen said, waddling over behind the bar and grabbing the bottle of Planka. "But I do not take him for a liar, or a madman for that matter. But the thought of some long-legged monster hiding in the woods, though?" As the rest of the men trudged through the snow and darkness, hoping to save Bako, Halshen poured two shots of the clear liquid. "Let me once again suggest that we do not speak of this matter until spring. Whether there is or isn't something in the forest right now is not of our concern. It is the winter. It has been a hard year. Let us simply tend to our homes and enjoy the fruits of our labor." He handed me the glass. I accepted it. "At least the dog is alive," he said. And then, in a little bastion of civilization surrounded by a dark forest, we drank.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.